Right, so just want to spend, it's not going to be massively long, it's not a long thought for the day, but I just want to spend a little bit of time building on the idea of role models that Jill has spoken about already this morning. And I'm sure we can all think of, can't we, other role models that we might have had in our lives. You know, perhaps from other sports. You know, we've got the Olympics coming up soon, haven't we? We've got Wimbledon. See, Nathan's very excited, but he's got a Wimbledon role model. But it might be that, you know, perhaps sport isn't our thing. Perhaps we have, you know, celebrities who are our role models, or inspirational role models from science, or indeed politics, art and literature. And I think, as Jill has alluded to, we can have good and we can have bad role models too. Perhaps we've had some good role models in our families, perhaps family members or friends or even teachers from our school days or youth leaders. I had the most amazing, youth leader called Betty Bowden. And, you know, she is still going strong in her 80s at my mother's church, and I get to see her occasionally. I think one of the good role models in my life was my dad, and I realise that I am really fortunate to have had a good father, and I recognise that that is not everyone's experience. My dad was incredibly hardworking, and he had really high standards for himself, but also for us as his children, for me and my two brothers. He was fair and just in his decisions. You know, he was generous, but also he knew how to save. He was kind and loving. He was a really learned man. He loved to acquire knowledge and pass that on to people. He loved his garden and his allotment, and he taught us a lot of kind of gardening skills. And he was also the most amazing cricket umpire. In fact, he used to teach umpiring at Lord's, and he even taught me how to score. I have to say, I cannot remember how to score now, and I have to say, I think personally, cricket is the most boring game in the whole world. Yeah, okay. But, you know, like many parents, he was also a man of sacrifice. He would sacrifice time to spend with us, his children, to help us. Particularly, he would help me with my maths and my science homework. And he, you know, along with my mum, they would sacrifice the things that perhaps they wanted in their lives so that we as children could have nice school trips and nice presents. And as he became older and was a young retired, he sacrificed lots of time to doing maintenance and decorating in their church. But he wasn't perfect. You know, we pick up on that theme. He wasn't perfect. He was still flawed in many ways. I want to pick up a little bit more on that theme of sacrifice. And again, that's what we see in many good role models, a life of sacrifice. Particularly sport, you know, every sporting player, every sportsman or woman will have made huge sacrifices in the time that they spend training, in the food that they eat, in going to bed early, those sorts of things. I would be absolutely rubbish at that. I have about zero self-control when it comes to eating, those of you that know me. And, you know, I have a really good friend called Alison, and her son Luke is the same age as my daughter Esther. And I also recognise we had the Eagle Browns in the house today. But the sacrifices that she made for her son's swimming, he was swimming very competitively. And the early morning starts, the late evening training, the weekends, on and on, years and years of sacrifice to try and get him to the best competitive level. And we'll see that, won't we? We'll see that. We'll see that in the Euros. We'll see that in the Olympics later. We'll see it at Wimbledon. All the years of sacrifice that these athletes have undergone with the aim, with the goal of being their absolute best at a moment in time. And we could focus on scientists as well, couldn't we? They sacrifice over and over again to get their experiments right. But again, none of those role models are perfect. I believe that the most amazing role model is God our Father and his Son Jesus. God our Father is wise and kind and loving and generous and faithful. And he's passionate about each one of us, his creation. And he had a goal. He had a goal, didn't he? It wasn't a goal to be the best football player or to win a trophy or to write a best-selling novel or to sing the most amazing song. It wasn't his goal to win Britain's Got Talent. His goal was to bring each one of us into a relationship with him, to save us, to put right all the wrong that each one of us have done in the world. And he did it through the greatest act of sacrifice ever. It says in John 3:16, and I know many of you will know this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him will not die, but will have everlasting, eternal life." What a sacrifice. And you know, God did this because there was this great big gap, we call it a chasm, between us and God. A gap because of all the sin, all the wrongdoing that we do, all the wrongdoing, all the sin in the world. And that could only be put right through a perfect sacrifice. That sacrifice was the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, on the cross. So God, the perfect Father, gave his Son, the perfect Son, to die in our place, to die in my place, so that we could be put right with him. You know, there's a line in one of the songs we sing. Often we sing it around Easter time where it says, "The Father turns his face away." And, you know, perhaps those of us here who are parents, you know, when our children are in pain, you know, be that emotional pain and distress or physical pain of distress, it's almost like we can't bear it. I know there have been seasons in our lives where my children have hurt themselves or have been emotionally hurt. I think recently, actually, when Esther had her accident doing a tough mudder, wasn't it? And, you know, she'd knocked herself unconscious in Norwich. And, you know, we had that drive and then we had that time at the hospital with her. And we would have given anything as parents to have taken the pain that she was in at that time away. And that must have been how Father God felt as his perfect Son Jesus hung on the cross. But because his love for each one of us is so great, he chose to allow that sacrifice. So I suppose, what can our response be today to the offer of our Heavenly Father? What can be our response to the amazing sacrifice that he has made? If we go back to that John 3:16 verse, you know, if we've never believed in Jesus, then that can be our starting point today. To choose him, to choose to say yes to Jesus today, perhaps for the first time. You know, I remember, you know, some people, they come to know Jesus, don't they, over a period of time. For others of us, there's a moment in time that we can mark. I remember when I was 14 years of age, I was taken by my youth leader, Betty, actually to a British Youth for Christ concert in London. And Clive Calver was there back in the day, showing my age now, and Eric Delve. And I remember having this choice put before me. I wasn't brave enough to go forward that night. But when I got home, I remember kneeling down and saying, "Yeah, Jesus, do you know what? I know I've done a lot of wrong things in my life. And I want to put that right. I want to accept you into my life. And I ask you now to be my Lord and my Saviour and my friend." That was that moment for me. And perhaps that moment could be for you today. But perhaps for those of us who already believe in Jesus and have accepted him as our friend and Lord, then perhaps some words from Matthew 16, 24 would be for us instead. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And that starts with aligning our priorities with his, denying and sacrificing some of the wants and needs. We saw, didn't we? Was it Lightning McQueen? I didn't quite get. You know, how he denied himself that first place in that race. And I know he's just a cartoon car, all right? But he went, didn't he? He went after his friend and he wanted him to have the right thing instead. You know, when we go after Jesus, when we take up our cross, you know, sometimes we have to deny ourselves, don't we? You know, there are some Sunday mornings, I'm being really honest here now, where actually I'd rather just sit in bed and have a cup of tea and read the papers. But, you know, we have to deny ourselves and come and meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we go after Jesus, when we take up our cross and follow him, when we follow his way and we play by his rules, we call those the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, don't we? Then we are being the best role models to the world that we can be. And that's a choice that we can make today, isn't it? So I'm going to hand back to the worship team and bless you. Have a good day.